It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
How many have taken the time to ponder what they might imagine to be the greatest threats to the human race and life on Earth? How many, even now, understand that the human race is itself our greatest threat? Not just to ourselves, but to the entire web of life. In the words of Jacques Cousteau, not only have we failed to realize that we are one people, we have forgotten that we have only one planet. After a few brief announcements, I'll cover the frontline breaking data that is determining our collective futures by the day. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for January 20th, 2018. This is a commercial-free news hour brought to you by GeoengineeringWatch.org and is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM, Sunday mornings from 7 to 8 AM. Global Alert News, also brought to you on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network and other networks that are picking up this program. We welcome that. There's no cost for that. Contact your local radio broadcaster and help us to sound the alarm. No monetary compensation needed for this broadcast. We simply ask that it be shared as much as possible, that we might wake others up around us. If you're in the Shasta County Redding area, Orchard Nutrition, there are free materials covering the lethal vaccination dangers, something that's ongoing because we have a medical industrial complex that pays off physicians to continue to administer known lethal toxic vaccinations. It simply pays too much for them to look at the truth. Again, if you're in the Redding, Shasta County area, Orchard Nutrition, DVDs on the vaccination issue, climate engineering, 9/11, grab some materials, share with others. That's all we ask. This week's Gym Fair in San Rafael, California, Gym Fair, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. Search their homepage, find out where their events are. This week's in San Rafael, California, Gym Fair, a staunch supporter of the anti-geoengineering effort, the critical effort to expose and stop climate engineering. Again, this week, started yesterday, goes through tomorrow, Marin Center Exhibit Hall. Next week, Hillsboro, Oregon, Washington County Fairgrounds. Week after, Roseville, California. Follow this event if you're close to it. Please attend it. Get some materials. Also, geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth there, fully stocked with free materials. Help us to share those materials. How many people feel that they are not thinking clearly? And is that any wonder with the toxic sea that we're all swimming in, with official agencies denying it? We have epidemics of neurological diseases, like Alzheimer's disease. Let me read an abstract from a science study on Alzheimer's disease. Even though we have official agencies, elected officials, the medical industrial complex, the majority of which still denies the proven connection with aluminum. The title of this study was called Chronic Aluminum Intake Causes Alzheimer's Disease. And let's remember that the climate engineering happening over our head, stated goal of putting 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere annually, all of which is coming down through the air column, all of which we are inhaling. A lot more stories to cover besides this, but I would ask this. Shouldn't we prioritize our time on this planet if we're facing the kind of threats we're facing? And if we're not thinking clearly, how many of those threats will we be able to deal with? We're back to a fight for life. And if we can't inhale clean air, we have a fight for life. From this study, abstract. Industrialized societies produce many conventional foods with aluminum additives. By the way, I looked at some ingredients in a food store in Reading, a Food Max with a pancake mix that has aluminum right in the ingredients. Why is that being put into our food in addition to our air column? To make sure that we can't escape this toxin? Let me continue from the study. Foods with aluminum additives that enhance various food properties. Who cares about the side effects? Actually, I would argue that's a desired effect for those in power to have us all not thinking so clearly. Report continues, and use aluminum sulfate or aluminum potassium sulfate in water treatment to enable, along with fluoride, by the way, to enable delivery of large volumes of drinking water to millions of urban consumers. Mechanisms that underlie the risk of low concentrations of aluminum relate to, one, aluminum's absorption rates, allowing the impression that aluminum is safe to ingest as an additive in food and drinking water treatment when it is not. Two, aluminum's slow progressive uptake into the brain over long prodromal phase. And three, aluminum's similarity to iron in terms of ionic size allows aluminum to use iron-evolved mechanisms to enter highly active iron-dependent cells responsible for memory processing. Aluminum particularly accumulates in these iron-dependent cells to toxic levels, dysregulating iron homeostasis and causing microtubule depletion, eventually producing changes that result in disconnection of neural efferents and efferents loss of function and regional atrophy consistent with MRI findings in Alzheimer's disease brains. Alzheimer's disease is a human form of chronic aluminum neurotoxicity. The causality analysis demonstrates that chronic aluminum intake causes Alzheimer's disease, period. Anyone who tells you otherwise is ignoring the facts, ignorant or lying. Take your pick. A momentary diatribe, then I'll get to the breaking news from the front line. Power structure systematic assault on the health and function of the populations continues to be ramped up. Paid liars and cowards in official agencies and corporate media are all too willing to do their part toward pacifying populations while the noose is slowly pulled around our collective necks. Toxic skies, toxic vaccinations, toxic foods, chemical contaminations, ever-escalating nuclear contamination, the list goes on and on. Official sources and the power structure media that represent them simply manufacture lie after lie to distract from all that is unfolding and deceive about the core causal factors. For example, the epidemic autism, Alzheimer's, dementia, ALS, the list of neurological diseases goes on and on again. How many official sources and corporate media sources do you hear admitting to what I just stated earlier in this broadcast, to the aluminum connection, to this pandemic of neurological diseases? How many? How many do you hear admitting to the fact that aluminum is now ubiquitous in our environment? Forms of it can now be found in numerous forms of processed foods, as I stated, listed openly in the ingredients column. Don't believe that? Again, try investigating for yourself. I've never asked anyone, I state this over and over because it's important to state, I've never asked anyone to believe anything I say. I've only asked for honest investigation from those who claim to care. Aluminum is raining down through our air column thanks to the all-out global climate engineering assault. Aluminum is laced into vaccinations, as most now know. When will they face the consequences of what that's doing? And for the record, to be clear, inhaled or injected aluminum is far more damaging than ingested aluminum. Countless other highly dangerous and damaging heavy metals and chemicals are all part of the toxic soup that the power structure and the order followers have ensured we are swimming in. And consider this point, which I've tried to make clear countless times. Though heavy metals are extremely toxic by themselves, when these dangerous substances are combined, the overall toxicity goes completely off the scale. Here's a statistical example that should be remembered and considered. I've stated this before. I want to state it again to drive this point home. In the case of mercury and fluoride and aluminum, when combined, in the case of mercury and aluminum, the overall toxicity can increase as much as 10,000%. So to be clear, that means these already extremely toxic metals can be 100 times worse when combined. Now let's stop to consider that those in power are fully aware of the fact that all of us have mercury in our systems, from coal-burning fallout to mercury fillings. All of us have been contaminated. Now let's remember the effort the power structure has gone to in order to ensure that all have plenty of fluoride in our systems as well. And in regard to fluoride, anyone who takes any time to do any objective investigation can only conclude that no sane person would willfully allow fluoride to enter their body in any quantity. Now enter the forced aluminum exposure. Yes, forced. The entire planet, the entire web of life, all has been subjected to blanket exposure of unimaginably toxic aluminum nanoparticulates that are extremely bioavailable, means they are readily absorbed by your body. These particles are being absorbed in all life forms, again, due to their unimaginably small size, and these materials are extremely bioaccumulative, meaning that they go into your bodies easily but are almost impossible to get out. They adhere to cell receptors like a plaque, the creation of synergistic toxicity that I mentioned that occurs from the combination of these heavy metals also helps those metals to cross the blood-brain barrier. Thus, the heavy metal plaques on the brain tissue that is the core causal factor in the horrific pandemic of neurological diseases, again, already mentioned. Why is there no admission of these facts when peer-reviewed science study has long since proven the heavy metal Alzheimer's connection? For example, not only are official so-called public protection agencies participating in the criminal contamination cover-ups, but in the case of public pacification facade entities like the Alzheimer's Association, let's remember this, the aluminum industry is completely in bed with them. The Alzheimer's Association is a complete fraud, as are so many other so-called humanitarian organizations that are designed to pacify populations into believing that someone, somewhere, is doing their best to address horrific human epidemics like Alzheimer's, when in reality, organizations like the Alzheimer's Association are actually funded to a large degree by the aluminum industry, with aluminum industry executives sitting on their board. The Alzheimer's Association, as an example, is actually doing their best to cover up the Alzheimer's aluminum connection. As I've stated before, I know this firsthand. As I've mentioned in this broadcast previously, when I tried to give a $500 donation to the Alzheimer's Association, which is the required contribution to secure an informational booth at one of their fundraising events in Redding, California, and the Alzheimer's organization adamantly refused to give me that booth. Why? Because of the fact that I wanted to hand out peer-reviewed science studies proving the Alzheimer's aluminum connection. When I showed up at the Alzheimer's Association awareness, as I've stated before, they tried to have me arrested or threatened to have me arrested. They backed off. They had no grounds to do that. They knew that would absolutely broadcast this message to an even higher level, so they backed off. Here's the point. Of all that we face, and I'll get to headlines in a moment, but of all that we face, if we can't think clearly, if we're being exposed to these toxins that are making us dumber by the day, and this is a statistical fact, IQs are dropping precipitously. And this is a core causal factor as to why. If we can't think clearly, we will not be able to deal with any challenges we face, and that serves the power structure very well. That's why we must prioritize. That's why I focus so much on the environment, the air we breathe, the planet that supports our lives, without which we're done. Game over. And when we have organizations like the Alzheimer's Foundation, and they are just an example of many such examples, whose job it is to pacify populations and cover up the crimes of the power structure, we must expose those organizations and not pretend that they are some sort of benevolent group when they're not. A feel-good group that is exactly the opposite of what we are programmed to believe they are. Who deserves to be held accountable for the dark horizon we now collectively face? And I receive messages from individuals who insist that I should put all the blame on the power structure, put all the blame on the criminals who run our government, and they are criminals, of course, on every side of the fence. People message me insisting that the population themselves don't deserve to be blamed. But is that the truth? Does such a conclusion fit the facts? The short answer is absolutely not. Those in power could not do what they do without the complacency and cooperation of the masses. And I receive messages from individuals who also insist that I shouldn't place any blame on our military brothers and sisters. I'm told by such individuals that military members are just following orders. Thus, they shouldn't be blamed. Really, willfully blind order followers should not be blamed for what they do? Can that be reasonable or rational to conclude? What an outrageous and irrational conclusion. All of us are responsible for what we do in this life. All of us are responsible for what we don't do in this life. The only gift or possession that cannot be taken ever is the correct use of our own will. It is our only responsibility in this life to use that will correctly, morally, honestly, in accordance with nature. But many would respond with this, that if we are threatened with physical harm, our will no longer belongs to us. But such a conclusion is also false. The decision to allow ourselves to be manipulated by such a threat, or not to be influenced by it, still rests with our own will and the correct use of it. So here's the bottom line. It's not just the criminally insane and criminally corrupt in the halls of power who deserve to carry the blame for the dark horizon we now face. The complacent masses, the willfully ignorant, the legions of willfully blind order followers, all truly deserve to shoulder much of the blame for our current course of certain near-term planetary omnicide. In the profoundly prophetic words of Edmund Burke, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Remember those words. I've said them often. Very profound quote. To which I would say this. What truly good man or woman would stand by and do nothing? Time for a long look in the mirror, and then to consider what the Hopi elders stated so long ago. A quote I've also repeated in the past. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Power structures all over the globe are aggressively pushing their populations to endure more and more vaccinations, supposedly to protect us. So why are epidemic numbers of the flu occurring all over the world? And how did the medical industrial complex know it was coming? Consider these recent headlines that were put out by the media and medical industrial complex just prior to the growing global flu epidemic. A number of headlines. Here's from CNN. The big one is coming, and it's going to be a flu pandemic. Again, these were put out just prior to the current flu pandemic. How did they know if it wasn't part of the plan? Here we have from CNBC, quote, "Medical experts predict worst flu season in history." Here's from Fortune.com. "Why did the deadly 2018 flu season get so bad, and could it get worse?" Here we have from New York Times. "Already moderately severe flu season in U.S. could get worse." They seem to know, don't they? Why do they know? Because perhaps it's a part of the plan. And if you think vaccinations are making you safer, do some investigation. Think again. The medical industrial complex has long since been a primary tool of the power structure. And though Western medicine does have great benefits in many arenas, it is causing immense harm in other arenas. And for those that are a part of this complex, you are being paid in so many cases enough, apparently, to silence you. When we have pediatricians being paid $400 per child for full sets of vaccinations that are administered, and the bonus that they get for administering full sets of vaccinations is forfeited if they don't administer full vaccinations to at least 63% of their patients. We're talking about massive bonuses, apparently enough to make the pediatrics community silent, to force them to not investigate the truth and to comprehend the immense harm they are doing to our children. Investigate. Again, we are the ones we have been waiting for. What's happening with the weather? I want to get to that. Again, all of this is connected. I want to remind everyone who's concerned about jobs, economies, and so forth, understand this. Nature has historically provided 75% of all global GDP for free, no longer, no more. Nature that rejuvenates itself, no more. We're on our own now, on a spinning ball of rock in space with a web of life that's decimated and getting worse by the day. The climate, nature, the biosphere are obviously essential to our survival on this planet. So I will cover things in an order of irrational priority and then weave that in to the military-industrial complex, the current occupants of the White House, and so forth. Bear with me. Much of the country and much of the world are experiencing ever more extreme weather whiplash scenarios. Climate engineering is the core cause of these unprecedented weather gyrations. And what's the West Coast weather? Let's start with that. Here's what we have from the script readers at the power structure controlled agencies. Mostly cloudy, mainly cloudy, cloudy with a chance of rain, rain and drizzle possible, mostly cloudy, rain possible, a little rain in the morning, a little rain in the afternoon, a little rain mixed with snow, with the, in this case, the most recent forecast for Redding, Northern California was temperatures shown for snow that are far above freezing, as high as 45 degrees. Why is it forecast to snow at 45 degrees? Or should I say scheduled to snow at that temperature? Script readers, that's what we have. Paid power structure liars. About the rest of the country, last week again, it was considerably colder in New Orleans than it was in parts of Alaska. Though we were never told that by the paid liars, again, at the Weather Channel's script reading source, whose task it is to masquerade as meteorologists, whose job it is to theorize the climate-engineered cooldowns that are the result of patented chemical ice nucleation for weather modification processes. Watch them at the Weather Channel, if you have access to that. Watch them try to explain why there are now warm and cold sides to so-called winter storms. Since when? Thunderstorms and 50 and 60 degree weather on one side and snow on the other. This is preposterous. This is climate engineering. And for all those who are pretending it isn't happening, you're a part of the problem. You're criminal accomplices to the crimes, especially those the public depends on to tell the truth. Like the constant Weather Channel commercials that say, trust us. Trust the Weather Channel. What a blatant, glaring, inexcusable lie that we should trust them. And again, watch them at the Weather Channel try to explain the flash freezing rain. And if you don't believe chemical ice nucleation is possible, consider this. Your beliefs are irrelevant. Verifiable realities are the bottom line. Search geoengineeringwatch.org, chemical ice nucleation, geoengineeringwatch.org, engineered winter snowstorms, and investigate. We have multiple articles on these subjects with lab tests included showing chemical ice nucleation processes and what they do, how powerful they are. The next theatrically named engineered winter storm for the U.S. is Winter Storm Jackson, chemically ice nucleated winter weather warfare brought to you by illegal and unimaginably destructive global geoengineering operations. Headlines. It's from Arctic News Blogspot. This is what we're not told when we're showing us snowflakes falling in Florida and New Orleans. We're not told that in the Arctic Circle, in this case Svalbard, air temperatures of 45 degrees and ocean temperatures of 60.8 degrees Fahrenheit. In some cases, the temperatures are 20 and 25 degrees above normal in the Arctic Ocean. And as I've stated in previous broadcasts, you must remember, the ocean temperatures are the bottom line that shows the thermal energy buildup on our planet. That's, by the way, it's building up. The thermal heat up of our planet is happening at the rate of 4 to 5 Hiroshima-sized nuclear bombs per second, 400,000 per day. Hard to get your arms around that, isn't it? That's how fast the heat is building up on our planet. And consider that a cubic meter of seawater can hold 4,000 times the thermal energy that a cubic meter of air can. The oceans are superheating, they're dying, they're stratifying, their oxygen content is plummeting. No oceans, no life in the oceans, game over for us. Another headline from the news source, financecommerce.com, warming Arctic spurs battles for natural resources, shipping routes. This is from the to hell with the planet, let's all make money mentality. From this source, as climate change pushes the ice farther north each year, it is spurring talk of a gold rush in the remote Arctic for abundant natural resources, prized shipping routes, and business opportunities in tourism and fishing. The growth in adventure tourism and the lengthening summer season have also produced a surge in traffic. Last year, the cruise ship Crystal Serenity, with 500 crew and 1,100 passengers that paid at least $22,000 each, sailed through the Northwest Passage. Consider, this is the willfully blind and unimaginably destructive mindset of those who are completely committed to the pursuit of material wealth and who have chosen to completely ignore the fact that when nature dies, we die. Very simple. And this is occurring by the day. What does the headline touting Arctic exploitation ignore? First, it doesn't mention the fact that ocean fish stocks are already completely collapsing worldwide. And then there's the fact that the massive formerly frozen methane deposits are now thawing and expanding, exploding into the atmosphere, a process that, if it continues, will turn our planet into a lifeless, superheated ball of rock resembling Venus. And if you haven't seen the methane blowouts in Siberia, look for that. Search it online. Search methane explosions Siberia, and you'll find photos that will shock you. And this is happening on the seafloor on a much larger scale. All that methane migrating into the atmosphere, covering the planet right now like a layer of glass. And by the way, for the ever deceptive climate science community that's not exaggerating how bad the climate damage is, they're underreporting the damage to the climate. Methane over a 10-year time horizon is 100 to 120 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. Methane is the bottom line. It's happening now. We're seeing methane counts at altitudes staggeringly high, pushing now 3,000 parts per billion. It has not been over 700 parts per billion for the last 1 million years. Uncharted territory. Can't hide that for long, although the geoengineers are trying to hide it. And we still have people beating the global cooling drum, even people in the anti-geoengineering community, as I've stated so many times, pushing the exact narrative the climate engineers want. People in the anti-geoengineering community ignoring one of the single greatest forms of geoengineering of all, chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. How can one claim to be fighting against something and yet ignoring some of the greatest aspects of it? That doesn't make rational sense. No legitimate discussion about the climate without discussing climate engineering first and foremost. No legitimate discussion about climate engineering without discussing chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. More headlines. A headline from cleantechnica.com. Global warming is going to demolish economies and societies. That's what I've stated over and over for a decade and a half. As the biosphere collapses, industrialized society will follow. We're now finally, because it can't be hidden any longer, seeing some acknowledgement of that from media sources. How long will that last? We don't know, because we have Google and YouTube hiring literally thousands, tens of thousands of monitors to screen out what they perceive as, quote, fake news. And what is fake news for those in the power structure who control the internet? Fake news is any news that doesn't conform to the official narrative of total deception. And for all those cowards that work for Google and YouTube, if this is the part you're playing, take a good long look in the mirror, because you are participating in your own near-term suicide, and you're dragging the entire web of life down with you. If that's the best you can do, what a pitiful life you are leading. Another headline. This one's from National Geographic. Animals are shrinking and freezing to death in a changing Arctic. Another lie, because they're not freezing to death from a warming climate, and the Arctic's warming twice as fast as the rest of the world. They're freezing to death because of, in so many cases, chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, just like the alligators that they showed poking their snout through the ice-covered swamps, a result of chemical ice nucleation. And yet they theaterize those photos because they want you to think it's cold somewhere. Even if it's radically warm where you're at, they try to make populations think, well, it's ridiculously cold in some places. That's a shallow layer of cold, very shallow layer that's created from chemical ice nucleation over the storms as they pump moisture in from the Gulf of Mexico. Since when do winter storms originate in the Gulf of Mexico? Connect the dots. Do some real research. And for those people who are new to this issue, who post comments asking us to explain every single aspect of geoengineering to them personally, we don't have time to do that. I wish I did. I don't. I'm asking people, before you start expecting everyone around you to stop and answer your questions, do some investigation. That's why we post so much data on geoengineeringwatch.org. Please actually investigate, and you will find the answers you're looking for. From this report from National Geographic, unusual weather brought by climate change is making it tough for musk oxen to get food, and sometimes even entombs them in ice. This is chemical ice nucleation, massive amounts of it. That's what causes these flash freezes now that the Weather Channel is trying to explain away. why the roads are all frozen when it's not very cold outside, but somehow the moisture all freezes when it hits the surface because it's hitting the surface before it sets up. Chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. So when we have National Geographic doing their best to cover the tracks of climate engineering, and by the way, as I've stated in previous programs, had a National Geographic reporter contact me some time ago, had a total of 3 hours worth of conversations with him and multiple phone connections. He knew climate engineering was going on, was trying to figure out a way to weave it into a tree mortality article, but he was shot down, as have been contacts I've had from RT TV, New York Times, USA Today, and others. Every time, shot down. They will not let this story get out. And for all those that work for these media agencies that are helping to cover up this dire, dire issue, you face karma that I would not want to have. Consider your part in this play. Another headline from KOMONews.com. Here's the headline. This is winter? ? Seattle ties all-time January record high. Now, we don't hear about this, do we, when they're showing us snowflakes in New Orleans and Florida? We don't hear about this. And by the way, the Southeast is going to, again, weather whiplash rebound back up to record temperatures. Up and down and up and down. And the only thing that's cooling things off when there's enough moisture, usually out of the Gulf of Mexico, for them to chemically ice nucleate, they can create a short-term, highly toxic cool down. Another headline, this one from Truthdig. Unstable East Antarctic ice shelf could spell catastrophe. So many ask, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? Why would they try to make things look cool? There's a million reasons why. All you have to do is stop, stand back, and think. Think. The oil and gas industry who's running the planet. We have the head of the largest oil firm in one of the highest posts in our government, Rex Tillerson. This is the foxes running the hen house. Why do you think they would want you to believe that there's nothing wrong with the climate? And again, very dishearteningly, many independent news sites towing that same line, towing the line of the military fossil fuel industrial complex, and at the same time claiming to be fighting for the common good and to expose the truth. That's a real paradox, isn't it? So, and even with Truthdig, a good news source, some good journalists there, but journalists who so far have shown no courage in facing the climate engineering issue. No courage. Why? Because Truthdig caters to much of the environmentalist global warming community who refuses to face the climate engineering also. Why? Because you have organizations like 350.org, Bill McGibbon, who is apparently receiving money from the Rockefeller Foundation, who is not willing to sacrifice his 501c3 nonprofit like Greenpeace, like Sierra Club. So they just pretend that climate engineering isn't real because to say otherwise, to tell the truth, would upset their donors. And they don't want that, do they? So let's all just pretend it's not happening while the ship goes down by the day. So the hypocrisy in the environmentalist community, unbelievable. Unfortunately, Truthdig has not posted anything credible on climate engineering. But what they're stating about what's happening in Antarctica is true. We must sift the baby out from the bathwater before we throw the bathwater out. From this report from Truthdig, new research has confirmed one of the worst nightmares of climate science, the instability of the East Antarctic ice shelf. This vast mass holds enough water to raise sea levels by 53 meters worldwide. That's about 175 feet in that range. The rest of Antarctica in total would raise sea levels up to about 190 feet. It's happening. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's happening at blinding speed, and it only takes a foot or two to radically change our reality, and it's happening. For decades, scientists have assumed that the great mass of ice in the eastern Antarctic was stable, but last year, research teams looked more closely at the meltwater flow from one of the region's glaciers and concluded that it was not stable, and that at any time, melting could result in a dramatic rise in sea levels. Quote from this report, we are already seeing the effects of rising seas caused by melting ice sheets and ocean warming. There's enough ice in our study region alone to raise global sea levels by as much as 15 feet. That's this one glacier region. This is in isolation by itself, aside from the rest of the ice, would be catastrophic to Florida. Now, if you don't believe sea levels are rising in Florida, you haven't done any research at all. Miami is pumping out as much as they can, and losing ground by the day. $500 million pumping project. Absolutely futile effort. Futile. You might as well try to stop a tidal wave with a Dixie cup. Not going to happen. From Scientific American, like oceans, Fresh water is also acidifying. Rising CO2 in lakes and reservoirs may harm animals that live in those ecosystems. There's no may about this. When you acidify the water, it's going to harm all the organisms that live there. There's no may. I've been over this show after show when the science community tries to downplay the severity of what's happening by inserting words like may, might, could. That's total deception. There's no may about it. If you leap in front of a speeding semi, it's not you may get hurt, you might get hurt, you could get hurt. You're going to get hurt if you don't die. And that's what we have here. Science community not telling the truth. From this report, scientists have known for some time that the ocean is acidifying because of climate change. The sea's absorption of human-generated carbon dioxide from the atmosphere is well documented, along with the harm it is causing ocean creatures like shellfish. Over time, lakes are experiencing the same CO2 buildup. Now, for those who claim CO2 is great, the more the better, please do some real research. If you're an aquatic creature, it's not the more the better. And even terrestrial creatures, not the case. In fact, the excess CO2 is actually harming plant growth in many cases now. It's well documented. Just because something is good, more is not necessarily better. Water is essential. Can't live long without it, can you? But if you're 10 feet under, not so good, is it? Let's continue. The paid liars and academicians that are pushing climate engineering denial is also staggering, disheartening. How many official sources are telling us that, let's look at the official lies. How many official sources are telling us that global dimming is getting better? Really? Global dimming that don't know what that is. That's the amount of direct sunlight that no longer reaches the surface of the planet. So let's ask ourselves if it's getting better. Are we seeing more blue skies now as opposed to decades past? And anyone who answers yes needs to start looking up along with doing a serious reality check. We see almost no blue skies, almost none. Even on so-called clear days, skies are almost always silvery white at best or covered with wispy, cobwebby looking remnants of geoengineered aerosol dispersions. Or if one looks towards the horizons, especially in the mornings and evenings, the filthy fallout from the climate engineering assault can be seen. In the case of the ozone layer hole that we are also now falsely being told is getting better. And we're even told this, as I stated, by some so-called independent sources who claim to be credible news sites. Do we swallow the official lie? Why are they pushing the official lie, the so-called independent news sources? Or do we believe what we can see with our own eyes and feel with our own senses? The ozone layer is not recovering. It's disintegrating. And there are countless causal factors. Any form of human activity that disrupts the energy balance of the planet, the climate, or the atmosphere is a form of geoengineering. But climate engineering itself, climate engineering processes, are the single greatest factor in that disintegration of the ozone layer. We're swimming in a sea of lies propagated by legions, again, of willfully blind order followers. The majority of the population has been so well programmed that they generally believe anything they are told by official sources. And this is especially true when the official narrative is what they want to hear in the first place. Day is night, up is down, black is white. That's the Orwellian world of total deception we are now living in. If societies as a whole choose to remain in this semi-comatose state, global omnicide will be our near-term destination. This is not theory or hypothesis. This is not conjecture. It's a mathematical certainty. Why are so many turning two blind eyes to the fact that Mr. Trump, or at least those he represents, is doing exactly what the power structure and the military-industrial complex want him to do? The same as Obama did, the same as Bush's did, the same as Clinton's did. The office of the presidency has long since been a primary tool of the power structure to divide, confuse, and thus conquer the population. The drama must be increasingly convincing to be effective. So while many are waving their Trump flags, like those who blindly supported Obama, Clinton's, and the Bushes, what is the current administration up to? Gutting any and every form of environmental protection. Here's a recent example of what I just stated. EPA drops rule requiring mining companies to have money to clean up pollution. President Donald Trump's administration announced that it won't require mining companies to prove they have the financial wherewithal to clean up their pollution, despite an industry legacy of abandoned mines that have fouled waterways across the U.S. Making America great again, aren't we? To be clear on the fact that we have criminal elements in the White House, as well as in media and other factions of the power structure, and just because these factions are infighting, just because we have a criminal media that is creating false reasons to attack the criminal presidency, doesn't make either party innocent. Just because you have fighting criminal factions doesn't make either party innocent. It's all a part of the theater. It's all a part of the power structure. And if the power structure frays apart, that's certainly a step in the right direction. But if you think that any part of the power structure is going to behave in any manner other than the criminals that they are, time to wake up. What's the current administration doing in regard to the ongoing weather warfare assault against the planet and our own population? They're radically ramping it up, doubling down on geoengineering, the geoengineering insanity that can only be considered operations of planetary omnicide. Another headline, multiple sources, Trump to expand nuclear arsenal. Trump just stated in a speech that, and I quote, "Other countries have become very spoiled and they need to stop taking advantage of us, i.e. America." Really? Does any rational person who has any idea whatsoever about the U.S. empire and what it has done around the world and is doing consider such a statement rational? Let's start with a reminder that the U.S. military occupies the majority of countries in the world, over 150 of them, and they're taking advantage of us? Do we have any foreign military bases in our country? Of course not. Let's consider reality in regard to how much of the world's resources the U.S. uses. How many planet Earths would we need if every human consumed as much as an American? We would need 5 planets. And that's conservative, I would argue. That still wouldn't be sustainable in the long-term sense. Americans are 5% of the world's population, yet we consume 25% of the world's resources. Mr. Trump, who is, quote, spoiled? Who is, quote, taking advantage of who? As I've covered in previous broadcasts, the U.S. is currently importing $20 billion worth of food from countries, many of whom are starving to death, at the point of a gun in some cases, in order to keep our shelves stocked, to keep the American population pacified until the last possible moment. Been over that again and again, and Mr. Trump has the audacity to state that other countries are taking advantage of us, and Americans like to believe that, don't they? Here's the unfortunate, unvarnished truth regarding the majority of the U.S. population and many others around the globe, especially first world nations. The majority do not want to wake up. They want to believe the lies that are fed to them by the PR puppets who occupy the White House and other agencies. And this goes all the way back for those that are terribly offended with any sort of negative Trump comment because they want to worship him as others wanted to worship Obama, as others still wanted to worship Clinton's. I don't understand any of this. How can people not see through this facade? Very convincing dramas designed to polarize and divide populations. It doesn't matter if it's Trump, Obama, the Bushes, the Clintons, it doesn't matter. When will the majority of the masses find the courage and fortitude to wake up and fully face reality? I'll say this, very, very soon, reality will wake them up. Wait and see. They won't have a choice. Before getting to the military-industrial juggernaut of insanities pushed toward Armageddon, here's an update on the current expansion of the empire. According to Vice News, a special investigation, U.S. troops are now conducting 3,500 exercises and military engagements throughout Africa per year, an average of 10 per day. U.S. mainstream media rarely discusses this ongoing war, thus giving the military ample space to destabilize any of the continent's 54 countries as it pleases. Today's figure of 3,500 marks an astounding 1,900% increase since the command was activated less than a decade ago and suggests a major expansion of U.S. military activities on the African continent. Empire, empire, empire. And who's taking advantage of who, Mr. Trump? The situation was no different in the case of Obama, who very hypocritically received the Nobel Peace Prize when he killed thousands of individuals' innocence with drones. Hypocrisy, total hypocrisy, going all the way down the ladder. It's not about Obama, it's not about Trump, it's about those who control them, those who create the theater to polarize the population and wave their flags behind their chosen candidate. All theater, very destructive, very harmful to any chance we have of changing course at this late date. Continuing from this report of the empire's expansion in Africa, following the death of four U.S. Special Forces soldiers in Niger on October 4th, U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis made an ominous declaration to a Senate committee. These numbers are likely to increase as the U.S. is expanding its military activities in Africa. Mattis, like other defense officials in the previous two administrations, justifies the U.S. military transgressions as part of ongoing, quote, counterterrorism efforts. Really, counterterrorism, like the 9/11 false flag event that was carried out by elements in our own government without any question for those who investigate? Counterterrorism, like the non-existent Saddam Hussein weapons of mass destruction, like the Gulf of Tonkin false flag that caused the Vietnam War? This is business as usual for the military-industrial complex. Continuing from the report, such a coded reference has served as a pretense for the U.S. to intervene in and exploit, Mr. Trump, a massive region with great economic potential. The old colonial, quote, scramble for Africa is being reinvented by global powers that fully fathom the extent of the untapped economic resources of the continent. While China and India and Russia are each developing a unique approach to wooing Africa, the U.S. is invested mostly in the military option, which promises to inflict untold harm and destabilization in many nations. They're taking advantage of us, Mr. Trump. Is that correct? And Mr. Obama and Ms. Clinton and Mr. Clinton and the Bushes and the rest. No, this is business as usual. No difference, different face on the actors and the play. That's all. Another headline, we're killing these kids, breaking the army. This is from the American Conservative. It's a report of empire and the price our sons and daughters are paying for their service in the empire's ranks. From this report, the author of the article states, I admit I was taken back. This senior officer and mentor with 28 years of military service wasn't one for hyperbole. No, he believed what he was saying to me just then. He said this, quote, we're killing these kids. We're breaking the army, he exclaimed. He went on to explain the competing requirements for standard conventional army units, to say nothing of the overstretched special forces. In 2018, balancing Russia and the East Europe deterrence rotations in South Korea, advise and assist missions in Africa, just went over that, add to the deployments of the usual hotspots in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan. He was genuinely concerned about the physical and emotional toll on the active duty force pushed to its limits by 17 years of perpetual combat for the empire. With high military suicide rates now labeled, quote, the new normal, and recent succession of accidental training deaths, it seems reasonable to wonder whether we are indeed killing our kids. On next week's broadcast, by the way, I'll report on the criminal contamination of poisoning of our troops and the entire planet from the unimaginably toxic U.S. military burn pits. By the way, who's the biggest polluter on the planet? U.S. military. Who's the biggest single fossil fuel consumer on the planet? U.S. military. How is our government taking care of the now sick and dying vets from the toxic burn pits and many other U.S. military functions? Delay, deny, and hope you die. This seems to be the appropriate slogan. I'll cover this in more detail next week. Now, on the subject of terrorizing, did anyone find the Hawaii missile attack false alarm curious? Just an accident? Or part of the game that those in power play? And back to the unbridled and completely out of control insanity of the military-industrial complex, consider this headline from multiple sources. Pentagon considers changing nuclear retaliation rules. From Washington, this is from CNN, again, multiple sources on this. The Pentagon is considering recommending, and not that CNN is not criminal, by the way, completely criminal, but that doesn't change the other criminal aspects of the government. Please consider that. And no one disputes that this is now policy that's being pushed. The Pentagon is considering recommending a change in policy regarding use of nuclear weapons that could open the door to a U.S. nuclear response to a massive cyber attack. Previously, a nuclear response has not been on the table for responding to non-nuclear threats against the U.S. So let's frame this. So if Russia, for example, really exposed the crimes of Hillary Clinton, which the American public has a right to know, the Clintons should be in jail. So should the Bushes, so should the Obamas, and I would argue so should Trump. Then now our military thinks it has a right to nuke a country like Russia because perhaps they had something to do. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But because somebody exposed the crimes of Hillary Clinton? Insane asylum. We're living in an insane asylum. Here's a headline from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former cabinet official for President Reagan. Another step toward Armageddon. From Dr. Roberts, he states this: the U.S. military security complex has taken another step toward Armageddon. The Pentagon has prepared a nuclear posture review, NPR, that gives the okay to the development of smaller, usable nuclear weapons and permits their use in response to non-nuclear attacks. Just went over that. As Reagan and Gorbachev understood, but their warmongers who have taken over America do not, there are far too many nuclear weapons already. Some scientists conclude that even the use of 10% of either the U.S. or Russian arsenal would suffice to destroy all life on Earth. The entirety of the Western world is devoid of intelligent political leadership. This is from Mr. Roberts, former Reagan cabinet official. This leaves countries such as Russia, China, and Iran with the challenge of preserving life on Earth as the Western world pushes humanity toward Armageddon. That's where we're headed. I'm almost out of time in this broadcast. Let me summarize. The majority of the U.S. population, along with populations of other first world countries, have been shielded from reality for far too long. Most are looking through a lens of normalcy bias, a colored lens that has all but completely blinded them to the converging catastrophes that are closing in on us at blinding speed from all sides. Collapse of the current paradigm will come like a tornado in the night, and that moment is far nearer than almost any yet choose to see or to accept. What options do we have? Here they are. Each of us must make a choice to remain either actively or passively a part of the problem, a part of the cancer that's consuming the planet and pushing us toward planetary omnicide, or to exercise our power of choice correctly and courageously. Each of us has the power to choose to be a part of the critical effort to change the direction of the human race, to change our trajectory before there is nothing left to salvage of our formerly thriving planet. What will you choose to do with the time you have left? Make your voice heard in this epic battle for the greater good while there is yet time to make a difference. If we're to have any chance of turning the tide of insanity, the masses must be awakened. I'm asked that over and over from so many people. What good will it do to awaken the masses? It will change everything. The only reason we have a legal team in Canada and the U.S. now, and we have people in agencies helping, we have former government officials, former government scientists, we have Air Force people. Why? Because they've been awakened to what's unfolding. They understand the totality of where we are headed if we do not change course. If we can fully expose the climate engineering insanity, it will bring everything else to the surface with it. But that must be done effectively and efficiently. We must reach a critical mass of awareness. And for those who again ask how, there are very detailed activist suggestion links on the homepage in the upper left column of geoengineeringwatch.org, very detailed with many hyperlinks inside those links, and yet more hyperlinks inside those links. Lots of details. But let me summarize. The most effective way to wake others around you is to share credible and compelling data from a credible source. As I stated, check the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, not just for those activist suggestions, but for our latest activist awareness materials, including free downloadable links so that activists can print materials locally if they choose. We put all the material there for free download. We simply want to give you the tools you need to help wake those around you. Make every day count. Time is not on our side. The sand in the hourglass is indeed running out quickly. Doesn't matter whether you believe that or you don't. There'll be soon no room for denial in what's unfolding. Again, make your voice heard while you can. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.